everybody. Okay, it's back me. You know, I've been all over the internet today, all over the podcast world, if you will. And today I'm here with my friend Lori. And so I'm going to ask her, we're going to talk about infection control breaches and how to fix them. And this is for my dental assistant friends out there. So Lori, tell us who you are and what you do.
So my name is Lori Cernapate, and I've been in the dental field 38 years,
which
I know, right? Because I'm 45, so I'm still trying to figure out the math myself. So, but I was a dental assistant for 7 years. That's how I put myself through school for microbiology. So I love dental assistants. I've always said, you know, then I went out to school, became a hygienist and an educator and all those things. But I still remember the best years being a dental assistant because really and truly, they are the backbone of any practice.
Amen.
I mean, I really love and respect. And when I was in hygiene school, I told all my friends, my classmates, I'm like, you better treat the dental assistants amazing because they're amazing. And literally, they do it all. They do it all.
We do it all, right? That's our thing.
Yep.
So, Lori, let's talk a little bit about infection control. And I know that you're a fellow geek. We love this stuff, right?
We do.
We do love this stuff.
Crazy.
Maybe a little crazy daisy love it. But I want to know, like, what would you say would be, like, maybe the top one or two breaches that happen?
Mm-hmm.
And then more importantly, how can we fix those?
Sure.
Like, give us
absolutely.
A workflow.
Yeah, no, one of the things that I do now, and I was a hygienist for many, many years. And then in 2018, I became an infection prevention control. I had my own business and I still do. And that's what I love. And I work with many teams that again are ran by who? Those dental assistants. And so when I walk in, and I'm also an inspector for the Maryland and DC board, but the number one, I think, is that PPE, right? And one of the problems with PPE, and this is one of the things I stress when I do my lectures, is that in 1988, yes, I know, in the 1900, like my daughter likes to say, when I started dental
back in the past century,
you know, and I was I started as a dental assistant. Nobody really trained me and let me know that there's a difference between a uniform and a PPE.
Ooh,
yeah,
right.
And there is, right? There is, and so in fact, one of the things that I do now when I lecture is I show a picture of firefighters at a fire wearing their full PPE, and then firefighters wear at the firehouse wearing just those nice t-shirts and nice pants. Ah, hottie. Anyways, and so I walked into the dental field in 1988 and was given a dental jacket. Right? And a mask that I basically everybody around me would take, fold, and put it in their pocket.
And that's what we did.
Right?
Back
that's what
then.
We did.
Didn't know.
We didn't know. You don't know. You don't know. And then the gloves. And then that was it. We weren't even using eye protection back then. And so that distinction has made it the probably second most common violation. I'm also, like I said, an inspector. And that when I walk in, it's that jacket is ubiquitous. It's everywhere. It's in the lunchroom. Mm-hmm. It's in the doctor's office. It's in the bathroom sometimes, believe it or not. It's in the front office, back office.
I was guilty.
Yeah,
I was guilty.
Oh, my gosh. When I lived in San Diego and I was a dental assistant, I literally, it was a jacket. So yeah. I didn't drive. Don't ask. I'm from New York City, so I was a little afraid of that. I drive now. But I would literally be on the bus with my dental jacket on,
right?
Because, I didn't bring a jacket because I'm cold. And so that distinction is huge. Distincting that PPE is personal protective equipment that we use when we're at risk.
Right.
So what risk are you at when you're in the central sterilization area? What risk are you at when you are in the front office, when you're doing a health history, when you're breaking down your room, when you're setting up your room, right? And based on that, just like we do with gloves, we're pretty good about gloves. I got to admit, I've never seen anyone go into the bathroom with contaminated gloves, right?
Right. No,
everybody's pretty good about taking those
right.
off. But again, that's part of your PPE. So if you're taking off those gloves, then you must take off your barrier, apron, lab coat, whatever you want to call it. Just don't call it a jacket because
right.
I think that's what results in that PPE being in non-clinical areas.
Well, it is. And, you know, I only worked in one practice in all my experience, all my time, that we wore our street clothes, which is whatever I wear from
sure.
home. Like
mm-hmm.
I would normally wear jeans or something,
yeah,
right?
Sure.
And we changed into our scrubs and our jackets in that office. That was the only one in all my years. And so we would in my mind, I thought that my scrubs was part of my PPE. I didn't know the difference, right?
Right.
But those are my street clothes because I wore them to go to McDonald's to get breakfast.
Exactly, exactly. No, and it's true. And, you know, one of the things that I love to do is work with teams and figure out, why do I see the same violations over and over again? Even when I work with offices that unfortunately are involved with the board, because I do consent orders and I help them kind of get their licenses back. And I start, you know, since 2018, I've been doing that. So it's like I see the different offices with the same violation over and over again.
So universal.
It's universal. And so part of me is like, well, what can I do to help them? Why are they tripping on this, right? And so at the end of the day, is the training is crucial, and we've been talking about that today, without training, right? But also that distinction, helping them distinct that there's a difference between our uniform, which is our scrubs, which is why I went into this field, loving working, being in PJs all day long.
Right?
Absolutely. Like, hello, how could you say no? But that the scrubs are our uniform and our PPE we wear based on our risk. One of the analogies that I like to use is if 5 of us or 10 of us went to a salad bar, right? We would start off, but at the end, all of us would have a different type of salad, right? Some of us might have more tomatoes, some of us might have onions, whatever. And so at the end of the day, it's the same thing. Wearing your PPE based on that risk. Again, in the central sterilization area, you're going to have your full PPE on because you got fumes there, you've got impact, you've got so many dangers, right? But you're also gonna wear utility gloves. Utility gloves is a huge violation.
That is the number one thing that we do not do. And why? Because you have utility gloves that only a quarterback can put their hand in.
That is true.
I'm just saying.
No,
it's right? Did you know that they come in sizes? Like, who knew? Right? Who knew? But that's a problem, right?
It's
and
huge.
Trying to do sterilization with those things, you can't peel a pouch.
You
can't put autoclave tape on a cassette.
You can barely just grab those things, right? Absolutely. And so the top 3 violations that I see in Maryland and in the DMV area, which is where I work right now, but I just got a client in Pennsylvania, so I don't know.
Oh,
I know, right?
It's
going to
be the same.
It is the top 3. It's going to be hand hygiene. It's going to be lack of hand hygiene, PPE and proper use and disposal of PPE, and then that utility glove.
Yeah.
And so when I work with teams, I always concentrate on helping the teams and finding out the why. With the utility gloves, it's always who wants to put their hands in there, right? First of all, like you said, the quarterback. But second of all, it's like it feels like it's warm, it's moist, and it's dark, and we don't want to put our hands in there because what is it? It's a Petri dish, right?
It is.
And so I get that. I do. And so one of the things I help them out with is like, and every office is going to be different, you know, but one of the things that we look at is, can we get different sizes? Or better yet, can we get better fit like we were talking about? And there's a couple of companies out there that I really like, and I won't say the name unless you want me to.
That's okay.
But I won't. But I train my teams, and I have free samples from those companies, and I give them, I said, try these.
Mm-hmm.
But if not, I send them to the Dollar Tree, and I said, look, get small, medium, and large. Oops, sorry, I said Dollar Tree. Never mind.
That's okay. You can say Dollar Tree.
Okay, good. Anyways. Or a lot of the companies, what they've done is every person who goes through gets their own pair.
So I want to back up.
Yeah.
I can buy utility gloves at the Dollar Tree?
In theory, yes, but not really.
Not
really.
Right,
no.
So strike that. Don't
strike
get them from Dollar Tree.
Don't get them. No. Get them.
But okay, let's talk about that. Why don't I want to use gloves from Dollar Tree?
Well, because they're not approved by the FDA, number one,
that's
right?
One.
That's right. And they're not going to be, I mean, the Dollar Tree is going to have the gloves that for dishes, right? But they're not going to be chemical resistant. They're not going to be puncture resistant,
correct.
Right? So we want them to be both not only approved by FDA, but we want them to be not EPA, but we want them to be puncture resistant, and we want them to be chemical resistant. Because when you're handling those are chemicals. Those are one of the things that I do talk to the staff, because sometimes I go in there and they're like literally dressed like they're doing dishes, and I'm like, okay, these are not dishes. Okay, those are fumes. I mean, the ultrasonic has fumes. You open that, and there's hazard, you know, chemicals in there, and that if you're inhaling, it's not going to be good. So again, PPE, eye protection, all of that, but also those utility gloves so that we can avoid those sharp injuries.
Right.
'Cause those are huge. A lot of people, you know, I don't know, I think I have my own little personal joke that needle sticks and sharp injuries really are like a divorce. And let me explain why.
Tell me more, please.
My analogies are always so like, what? But wait, that makes sense. When I talk to groups about Sharpe's injuries, right, it's like their mind is glossing over, like, whatever. But it's like I say, cognitively, all of us know that 50% of the population is getting a divorce now, right? We hear this all the time. Like, this is not news, right?
Right.
But when you're going through that divorce, I don't know if you've ever gone through a divorce. I've gone through a couple. I'm on my third marriage, but this one's a stick.
Me too.
I'm going to stick with this one. This one. But when you're going through a divorce, you feel like you're the only person that's going through it.
Right.
It's so, it feels isolated. It feels like, even though, again, cognitively, you know, 50%. And it's the same thing. Like, I practiced 38 years, and I only had one needle stick. And I was pregnant, and I knew the person, but we still went and did what we were supposed to OSHA-wise. But I still felt like, oh, my gosh, right? But when we're going through the training, it's like CPR. Yeah, you're like, yeah, I know this. But then when it happens to you, you're like, oh, should I do this? And you get so nervous, What the hell do we do now? And I'm like, I've been training your staff for the last 5 years on this topic, and they don't even care. Just whatever. It's not going to happen to me. And then it happens to them.
So it does.
I do always think you have to be careful. You have to be careful because, you know, your employer, they're providing the PPE and hopefully they're providing the training. But at the end of the day, you know, you got to care about your health too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, yesterday in my infection control class, I used this example that there are 340,000 plus needle stick injuries in this country every year.
Isn't that crazy?
But here's the deal. Those are the only ones that are reported.
Oh, my gosh. Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So back in my day, I had so many, maybe not complete needle sticks. But what happens is a Sharpe's injury can happen from anything.
Right.
My pertaining, if you could see my arm, there's little scars all over my arm. And those are from burrs.
Right, of course.
It's a Sharpe's injury.
Yeah, it's a
arm hit the burr because my doctor would not turn that puppy around
for nobody's business, right?
Nobody's business. They wouldn't turn it around. So I had all these burrs.
Absolutely.
That I've actually tore my jacket. That's a Sharpe's injury, right?
Right, absolutely.
That's a Sharpe's injury.
Cavitron tips.
Cavitron tips.
A couple of hygienists reach out to me and say, hey, I just had snagged with a Cavitron tip. I'm like, is it bleeding? They're like, yeah. I said, well, then that is also a Sharpe's injury.
Well,
right?
Even if it's not blood, I was exposed.
Yeah, you were exposed.
Right?
Absolutely.
I was exposed.
Absolutely.
So it's one of those things that is part of our workflow. Like, I finally got my doctor to remember to turn it around, but half the time they didn't. So I had to change my workflow to, before I pushed the bracket table away, I had to look at that handpiece and turn it around myself.
That's right. And coming back to workflow, as one of the things I work with when my teams, and I say, as soon as you get into the central sterilization area, you're going to put down that container that has the contaminated instruments, and you are going to take off your gloves, you're going to wash your hands, you're going to either choose to put on exam gloves clean as liners, which a lot of offices are doing because they say that it helps them, and then you're going to put on those utility gloves. And that's it. You're not going to touch anything in that container until you go straight to those utility gloves.
I love that. And you're right, though. They get sweaty and gross inside.
Yeah, they do,
they're not that expensive, people.
No.
I mean,
oh, my
really,
gosh, no. There's a company. Again, I will not even say the name, but it's 3 pairs to the bag for $20.
Right? There's even better ones out there, I'm going to tell you. But anyway, so, they come in sizes. And so my personal advice would be this. Everybody get your own pair.
Yes.
God's sakes, they last forever.
Yes.
And here's the deal. If you get an utility glove that is FDA cleared.
Yes.
9 times out of 10, they are autoclavable.
Yes.
Now, here's the deal, though, right? It says autoclave when necessary. I would, like, it's necessary every damn day.
I know, right?
Right? Every day. Well, obviously, we're not going to do that. But I love the idea of using
exam gloves as a liner. Absolutely.
Right? And then having your own. So it's really one of those mindset things.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
Because I don't think that anybody goes, like, we don't wake up in the morning and say, okay, today I'm going to break every infection control rule on the planet.
No. No.
I'm going to go in and I'm going to stick a needle right in my hand.
Yep.
Because I need a day off.
Or because I need to get hepatitis B, C, HIV.
I need to go visit the hot doctor on the corner. Whatever. Right, you know what I mean?
No.
But people don't do that.
We don't.
And it happens in our... Actually, instead of me saying this, when do you feel like that these things happen?
I think when people are rushing.
Right.
Because, you know, that one thing about dentistry, and I tell my husband, he's an electrical engineer, so he lives in his world and I live in mine. And I say, nobody realizes how fast our industry moves. I've always akin it to like a Broadway show. You know, like the patient shows up and they think, oh, la, la, it's like a little dental spa in here, which is great, right? Because that's what we want them to think. But behind that little facade, like in the Broadway show, behind closed curtains, we're all like running around. Did you get this? Did you get that? The 3 o'clock is there. Their case is here. Oh, wait, the lab hasn't, you know. And so I always get that time. I guess like time. And I say, it's great, and I understand, but you must, just for your own safety, when you're handling sharps, you have to slow down. Or most importantly, have systems in place to use hemostats or to use whatever, you know, work engineering practices, all those things, engineering devices. Those things will help you tremendously, because the bottom line is, did you know that David Eagleman says that up to 46% of what we do is on autopilot? And it's true.
It is.
It's absolutely
true.
You do it without even thinking. Mm-hmm. And then you're moving. And then all of a sudden, oh, what's that red dot? That's the blood coming out of your finger.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And so you don't even feel it.
And it happens so quick, too. And I know that in my personal experience, you're always thinking, a dental assistant especially, right? We are always thinking 3 to 5 steps ahead.
Absolutely.
At any moment, you're thinking about the patient in the next room or the other two rooms, or then you're thinking about the 3 or the 4 that's waiting in the reception area, right? So you're constantly going and going and going and thinking about these things. And so I'm not going to say slow down, but I want to say be more intentional.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because when you're intentional with something, then it's an automatic process.
Absolutely.
And, you know, doing stupid shit. I mean, like, this is just me, you guys. You get this word. But anyway, just stupidness. I went to my my dentist, and I took my mom in. She needed a soft liner in her denture.
Okay.
That poor dental assistant grabbed the Bard Parker blade.
Oh, I know what you're going to say in a minute. Oh, my God.
The Bard Parker blade. No lie. This is no lie, right? And she is using that blade with no handle.
Oh, my God.
I know. Close your mouth, baby. Close your mouth. No handle to trim that denture. And I said, honey, that is danger right there. That is danger, danger. Yeah. She says, well, this is how they showed me to do it. And I'm like, really? So don't teach each other bad habits.
No.
Teach each other habits that are healthy and safe. And if you don't know what they are, then you call me and Lori. We can help you.
Absolutely, yeah. So I would definitely say those two. Like I said, number one is hand hygiene. And we can do that a whole different...
That's a whole different podcast. Because we don't do hand hygiene. Ask me how I know. Because, like, I sucked. Right?
Well, me too. I'm not going to lie. Before I started doing this as a business, you know, it was like, well, da-da-da. But most, and especially now, most of the offices that I go to when I do an inspection is they're going glove to glove. Glove to glove. That's what we do.
You wash your hands when you go to eat, when you go to the bathroom.
If that.
Or if you have time. Or if you get, you know, cement on your hand when you were cleaning
it
up.
Back in the old days, it was like powder.
Just to get the powder off, right? But we don't. And you know why? Because your hands are so sweaty. And then you wash them. And then you can't get them dry, right? So I think that it's more of a, it's a good work practice to dry your hands, but do it while you're talking to your patient.
So, absolutely.
Like, I'm washing my hands and then I'm drying and then I'm talking to my patient. So has there been any, are you got any changes in your health history?
Amen. That's how I do it. That's
right?
Exactly.
And
how
the whole time I'm drying my hands, or is there anything bothering you today that we need to look at? You know what
exactly.
I mean?
Exactly.
And I'm drying my hands while I'm asking these questions. And by the time I do that, I'm dry and now I'm ready to put on my gloves and pick up my x-rays. Because during that time, I'm telling them, like, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to take a full series of x-rays and you know, we're going to catch a scan here, maybe a photo, whatever I need to do for that thing. And then I'm drying my hands the whole time. So I think that we have to think about more efficient work practice ways.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yep. And not just that, one of the things
and
that...
And awareness.
But the other thing is, I like to read a lot because I'm a nerd. And so there's that book called Atomic Habits by James Clear. I love that. Another plug there. Sorry, James, I want some money. Anyways, and he says, when you're trying to get a habit, stack it upon another one.
That's right.
And so that's exactly what I do. I do hand hygiene and I'm talking to my patient. Hi, when was the last time you had your teeth cleaned? Oh, okay, good. Because they'll say new patients. And I love when they say it's a long time because I'm like, okay, long time, more than five, less than five. Because sometimes I get those patients that say long time and it was been 18 months. And the other one says long time and it's been 30. So anyway, you know, I was like, okay.
30 months, 30 years. 30,
exactly, right? But when I'm doing that, then that's when I'm doing the health history and everything. But guess what the bonus is?
What is the bonus?
Here's a bonus. I get at least one patient a day that'll tell me, you wash your hands a lot. So they're noticing.
They're noticing.
Right?
I'm telling you, our patients are so more...
aware.
Yeah. I was going to say dental savvy,
yes.
Right?
Okay.
Because we Google everything.
Yes.
We Google everything.
Absolutely.
And so they're more savvy for that. So that's awesome.
Well, not just that. I tell people before COVID, you know, we knew that people had to wash their hands. But like during COVID, I would be driving down, you know, down into the center, like tunnel to get to the city and stuff. And there were huge lights that said, wash your hands. I would walk into Staples and they would say, wash your hands. And wash your hands was everywhere. And so now what I get patients that go, you wash your hands a lot. And I go, well, we're supposed to. No, that's why I love coming here. You know, I just came from giving blood or doing this or the end. And I haven't seen anyone wash their hands. And then you wash your hands. So, you know,
people notice. Yeah.
And at least in Maryland, I'll tell you, the number one complaint that the board gets is I didn't see anyone wash their hands.
So there you have it. Have a great day. We'll see you next time.
Love it.